Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 49, Grateful. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on November 18th, 2018.
He did it because the Congress asked him. Wouldn't it be great to have a Congress like that? They asked him to establish a day of thanksgiving. And so he made a proclamation on that day. And this is sort of the substance of that proclamation. He said it's a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially affording them as an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and their happiness. So from the first proclamation of thanksgiving, it was established to be a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God. So I think that's significant because, you know, when you establish a precedent, even if others don't follow through with the intent of all of that, it puts a marker down. It's a signal to the devil, back off, stop, cease and desist your maneuvers against us because we've established something with Almighty God. And I think our forefathers knew something about that. And when they made such proclamations, it was like a declaration of faith of establishing something that would totally affect the whole nation, even if not everybody believed that way. And so it's right that we continue to carry on such traditions, but it would be wrong just to have the tradition for tradition's sake, just like it's wrong to have church and do rituals for the sake of doing rituals and being religious. And should you wonder why we need this, you only need to read what Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred." So if you look around at what's happening in our culture, our society, and across the Western world, and probably the whole world, you can see that this prediction that Paul made to Timothy, this prophecy, it's being lived out in front of us in graphic color. And now it's not just that we hear about these things happening, we can see them on our TV screens, on your iPads, on your mobile phones. You can see this unfolding in front of you, the violence, the godlessness, the hatred, the strife, the tragedies, all of it mixed up together. And what Paul told Timothy is coming to pass in front of us. So we really need to set aside some times to thank God. When you travel to some other nations where people don't have many of the privileges and many of the things that we have available to us, it becomes even more graphic to you how much we should thank God for being able to live in a place like this where everything works. When you go to a place where everything is broken and you never can depend on transportation or the electric being on or the water being hot or even being there at all, you begin to appreciate more the things that we have. And maybe everybody should take a mission trip just for, if for no other reason, just to experience that. But here's what Jesus said in John 14, verse 1. He said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Amen. Okay, there's all this bad stuff going on, but don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. Really amazing words, because it's like you might think that's like an impossible demand in the middle of what we're living through. don't let your heart be troubled, because it's hard not to let your heart be troubled when you see what's happening. The world, our nation, it's beset by hatred, violence, tragedy, and discord. But God has a solution. And if you're looking for solutions, you can find them in the Bible. And if you follow them, in the middle of that turmoil, you can live at relative peace. It might be that you're not unaffected by those things that are going on around you, but inside, you can have a place of peace and rest. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says to the Colossian Christians, he says, "Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony." So when you see discord and you see fighting and you see strife, this is a way out. The way out is to bind yourselves together in love, because that builds everybody together in perfect harmony. So we can't make the world around us do that, but we can live that out in front of the world. That there's a people, there's someone, there's a group, there's many groups that actually they clothe themselves with love. And then he says, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. See, God has given you the way out of this. When you feel the pressure of all of this other stuff coming down, he's got a way out. And the way is that his peace comes from Jesus, from Christ, from the Messiah. And he says, just let it rule in your heart. What that means is that you have a part to play in that. You have to be proactive in that, because it's not going to just automatically happen. Oh, I'm a Christian, now all of this is happening. No, you have to allow that peace to rule in your heart. In other words, it has to have preeminence over the other things that might be trying to grip your heart. You have to make a place for it. You know, the Bible says, don't give any place to the devil. And then it says, what you should do is something like this. You know, like, let that peace be the ruler in your heart. So, you know, a lot of times we kind of go through life and we have like a, you know, maybe somebody asks us to do something and we just have a check in our, what I would call a check in our spirit, check in my spirit about it. In other words, I don't feel quite right about what they're asking me to do or something like that. That's God speaking to you. Now you have a choice when you feel that, when you sense that going on inside of you, you have a choice to either let the peace of God rule in your heart, or you have a choice to just ignore it and go on and do whatever you're going to do. Either comply with somebody's request, or, you know, just ignore it, or just say, well, that's just crazy or whatever. But you can actually purposely, consciously invite Jesus to that place of having ascendancy in your heart and being preeminent, and let that peace rule in your heart. Then he says, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And then he ends that by saying, and always be thankful. Always be thankful. Always be thankful. Now, sometimes people get confused about, you know, should we thank God for everything? Or should we thank God in everything? Well, the reality is that not everything comes from God, so you might be thanking him for something that didn't come from him. So you need to be discerning about what you're thanking him for. But regardless of where it came from, you can be thankful, you can be grateful to him, because even if it comes from the enemy, you can overcome through the blood of Jesus and be thankful. Or even if it's on top of you, you can still be thankful. Even if it's pressing you, you can still be thankful. Thankful that God is with you, in you, fighting for you. The Bible says, if God is for you, who can be against you? The Bible says, the angel of the Lord encamps around and about those that fear him and delivers them. It's a great promise. It's not just a promise. It's a covenant blessing that comes from those who are serving God. So we can expect that we have angelic presence around us to protect us, even in the gravest danger or tragedy all around, he's there to protect us. And he's with us in the storm. You know, when Jesus and the disciples encountered the storm on the Sea of Galilee, it must have been pretty horrific, because the disciples, who were seasoned fishermen, were afraid. The Bible says they were shaking with terror and they were crying out, "Jesus, don't you even care about us?" And he just stood up and said, "Peace, be still." So when Jesus is with you in the time of trouble, he can still stand up in the bow of your boat and say, "Peace, be still." When all your efforts have failed, he can still stand up and say, "Peace, be still." And he wants to do that for you. But you have to be yielding to him and recognizing that he's there for you. Verse 16 says, after it says, always be thankful, it says, let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. So this is the roadmap out in the middle of a world that's going crazy. Clothe yourself with love. Be bound together in harmony. Let peace rule in your hearts. Let the message of Christ fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. Have a thankful heart. Because people are attracted to that. And when people are attracted to that, they'll find the Jesus that you love, that you know, and the one who's helping you. Now, when we go out and revive, you know, sometimes we have to make friends very quickly, because they don't know us, they don't know your character, they don't know your integrity, they don't know your heart. But Jesus is with you and he's in you. And people can feel his presence through you if you'll allow that presence to flow in you. Let's take a look at Psalm 138 to get in the get into the book. Verse 1 says, I give you thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. I will sing your praises before the gods. I will bow before your holy temple as I worship. I will praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness, for your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. If we just stopped with those two verses, it's just amazing how much God will extend himself for the people that he loves. I mean, it's like he's crazy about you. And when you thank him with all your heart, it's because when you yield to him and when you give yourself to him, his love for you and his backing of all of his promises, it's there. He's an amazing God. And he's not going to give up on you just because you messed up yesterday. He's not going to let you down for some other reason. He's there fighting for you, and he's with you all the time. Verse 3 says, as soon as I pray, you answer me. You know, I grew up in a church tradition where they used to say, well, you know, you can't really tell about prayer because, you know, sometimes God answers yes, and sometimes he answers no, and sometimes he answers wait, and sometimes he answers maybe. And it kind of was a picture of God is like sort of a game of chance, you know, like maybe you roll the dice and if it comes up snake eyes, you know, God's going to answer your prayer. But God's not like that. This word says, as soon as I pray, you answer me. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you see the answer immediately, but the answer was sent. We know that from Daniel, the book of Daniel, I think it's chapter 10. The Bible says that while he was praying, the angel said, from the first day you prayed, I was sent to bring this answer to you, and I got some opposition. And 21 days later, this angel shows up and gives him all this information that God had sent to him as a result of his prayer. So some things might be hindered, but it's not God that's holding it back, because he sent it from the first day. Verse 4 says, every king in all the earth will thank you, Lord, for all of them will hear your words. Yes, they will sing about the Lord's ways, for the glory of the Lord is very great. God's dream is for the leadership of every nation to come to him. That's his best. That's his heart. That's where he wants to go. And that's why we've got to go to the nations. Jesus said the gospel will be preached in all the nations, and then the end shall come. So our job is important. Our place in that picture is vital, and we need to be proactive about stepping into that place through our praying, through our giving, through our going. We need to be there. For the Lord is great. He cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. Though I'm surrounded by troubles, you will protect me from the anger of my enemies. You will reach out your hand, and the power of your right hand saves me. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. Just look at this. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. So if you remember that God made you, the Bible says you were knit together in your mother's womb by the hand of God, by the finger of God. If you remember that, you can think about how faithful he is to you and how he's going to work out his plans for you. So there might be some uncertainties in your life right now, and all of the plans might not be clear, because if he told us everything, you know, we maybe wouldn't go there. But his plans for you, he will work out for you, and he will bless you. So I just came away with about 4 points out of that. First of all, God answers prayers, verse 6. Secondly, he cares. Thirdly, he protects, verse 7. And he's working out his plan for you, verse 8. So we're going to take a few moments now and break into groups, into small groups. And there's a scripture in your bulletin. Take a few minutes and talk about those. Make some observations. Think about how you can apply that to.
The Lord this last week has downloaded a lot of things, joy, peace, patience. And today when I was driving here, the first second stoplight I was driving at was at 24 in Liberty Mills Drive. And as I'm coming up, there's not a whole lot of people out, but I did look to my left and there was a pickup truck that totally ran the light. And if I had been where I was like, oh, I need to get to church and I got to, you know, I would. I would have been in that intersection when that truck went through. I mean, that's how close, but because the Lord was just at peace with me and I was just at peace, I was able to look. I saw him coming, and I was like, okay, I stopped and went right through the light, and then the light changed yellow for me. So he totally ran, he or she, I don't know who. So I just praise the Lord, thank the Lord. Amen.
Okay, so this might sound silly, but so a couple weeks ago, I ran over this big metal bar in the road coming home from Goshen Revive School. And it totals Angie's car, but I was completely okay, praise the Lord. Like, everything went well. Yeah, so what we did was we started looking for a car, and we did it like we would do it. We were just, all right, let's just figure this thing out. Let's just go and find a car. And so we got on the website, saw all this stuff, and we're like, this is so exhausting. And we're like, it should be easier than this. We're like, I know, the Lord should, like, help us. And so... So what we decided to do was like, well, wait a minute. Like, the Lord can totally help us. So we were like, why don't we just treat this like a Revive outing? Like, Lord, we're looking for a car, and would you help us? And when, because we're learning to live more in the spirit, right? We're so tired of living out of the soul and our minds and stuff. It's like, man, that's exhausting. And so we're like, okay, I think this is where we should go. This is what came to mind. And so we started to, like, go in that direction. We were looking at some cars. And we're like, ah, no. And then we found one car. We're like, ah, we really like that one. And so we get, we're like still kind of living out our heads. I don't know, but we're like, well, let's get online, see if we can find a cheaper deal. So we find a cheaper deal and we're like, we go and check it out. We're like, this is like perfect. And I don't think we would ever found it out had we not just stopped trying to live life by ourselves and just pray and say, Jesus, is there some place you want us to go? And will you take us there? And then it was like, that was easy. Like, that was so fun. So yeah, it's just like taking the revive experience and like, let's just put it to every aspect of our life. Let's just do that. So yeah.
Revive a car.
Well, since you're talking about miracles, and maybe I shared this in the women's cell some time ago, but this happened in 2013, I believe, or close to that time. My husband, I talk to him every day. Some of you don't know, he's in Mexico, and he can't come yet until the laws change or until he fulfills whatever the requirements are. But at any rate, we talk every day on the phone. And so one time he said, when we were about ending our conversation, he says, you know, the Lord's trying to tell me something. I don't know what it is, but he said, wherever you go, be careful. If somebody goes with you, be careful. He said, that's all I can tell you. So I says, well, okay, thank you. Keep praying. So then, and this could have been around December, November, December. In January, I live from work. I live over 20 miles from work one way. So I live out in the country and our roads get icy. They don't get cleaned off right away. So there's usually ice on our roads when everybody else's is clear. But I was coming to work in the morning, and there was a curve, and then immediately after the curve, it goes downhill pretty steep. And my Jeep went totally out of control on ice. I couldn't do anything. And when I lost control right away, I thought, okay, this must be what the Lord was telling my husband. So I put it in park, because I don't know which way I'm going, you know. Can't see out. I'm moving too fast and it's dark. And I put it in park and I sit back. That's all I could do. And I said, thank you, Lord, in my heart. And the Jeep stopped. And when it stopped, I was crossways on the road. And I just put it in park, went down the hill and came to work. Nothing happened to me and nothing happened to my Jeep. But that winter, I had three things with ice, total loss control. I never got hurt on any of them. My vehicle never got hurt. But the last time, my Jeep was going down a small hill. It was icy. I couldn't stop it. And it turned around, went 180 degrees, so it was going back uphill, but then it hit the side of the road. But because there was a pile of snow, it didn't tip over and roll over. But then I couldn't come out of it. Somebody had to pull me out. But nothing happened to my vehicle. Nothing happened to me. So God's faithful.
I praise God because the young girl that Santos and I are ministering to, remember last weekend with our offering message, we gave her some money last weekend. Well, I think she had a really good week, and every day she was giving me a report. Of course, she was eating, so I think that was a really good thing. But beyond the food and the material gift, she said, I have so much joy. I'm so happy. I'm praising God. And I just thought, wow, that's really awesome. So I just wanted to share that testimony. And just so thankful for God, God's blessings over Santos and I and in our 6 weeks of marriage. And he is really teaching us. We were in our group, we were talking about fruits of the Spirit. And yeah, I have a whole fruit basket available to me all the time. And I am learning self-control. I'm learning, just all kinds of things, patience, kindness, all that good stuff. So it's been awesome. It's been, yeah, God is good.
Did you raise the hands? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I love Thanksgiving and the big holiday meals with families, and it's been very difficult with some of the families that I've been working with here, and we got to a place where Sarah was wanting to host them. Tell me you know Sarah, but anyway, she's right next door, but she's been wanting to host things. Well, she's not doing it this year because her husband had to have surgery and he's recovering. Okay, so then nobody else was stepping up about it. I have the smallest house. And so, well, all right, we'll just do something over here. Nobody wanted turkey. Nobody wanted ham. And I'm thinking, well, what do we do? So I'm thinking, well, all right, I guess I could do maybe a potato bar and a salad bar. Okay, I'll offer that. So I did that. And then Laura steps up and says, no, your house is too small. Why don't you guys come over to my house and I'll make you beef stew. And now she's made beef stew once before. And she makes the meat tough, which is hard for Mel. But we graciously thought, well, all right, no, we'll do that. All right. So then we waited a little while and we couldn't get anybody else to commit. And then Sarah came to us Friday night and says, you know, Marty's dad and mom would really like, if you guys would like to go and join us over there, we'll just go for a little bit, but you guys could go and visit too. And so this is actually on the heels of, we just gave a 24-pound turkey away last week to sew it, because I thought, you know, well, if I can do it, then all right. So we sewed it. So God's already done that. So we have a nice meal with family that we will be able to enjoy. And so, of course, you always offer, is there something I could bring? And yes, bring that, whatever potato or gratin stuff you made last year. I love, that's one of my favorite things, so. But everybody else can have all the other stuff.
Oh, praise God. Awesome.
And we have family members.
What's that?
You're making us hungry.
Thanksgiving is fun.
I'd be quick, Pastor. Because God is doing so much good things for me, so I have to run it through real quick. I want to thank God for bringing me to this church and get rid of idol. That's first thing. I want to thank God for healing my lump in my breast. He is a healer. I thank God give me a good vision that I still can see today. I've been not wearing my glasses. And I don't really fret about it because I know God continues to heal me. And every time when I don't see, like I need to squint, and I always have that faith that just relax because God already healed my eyesight. And I never, since then, when he told me to put down that glasses, my vision is not a problem. So thank you, Lord, because it will come. Whatever that I fall a little bit too far, I just say, come here, you object. I will see you. And then relax, and I will see it clearly.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, you devil, you know, because that is faith that every time I open my eyes, I can see. There's nothing that I cannot see. Because God heal and give me that faith of seeing it. Amen. So that was good because that was every day. I want to thank God that my son is saved in the name of Jesus. I believe in that. And my family in Malaysia, they will be safe in the name of Jesus. And I believe in that. And the neighbors too. Okay. And I want to thank God that he is a provider. And thank you for that glory house. And thank you for the blessing house. And I know that God say, I never worry about no house. He has plenty of houses for me. And he has mansion waiting for me. And I don't have to worry about it. So wherever I go, wherever the place, he say, you don't have to worry about that. So I know I am believing in that. And as far as obedient, I went to Cuba. I have these two visions that I have before. When I first came into my father's house, In fact, I was also preach about it in the cell group about the coconut tree, how straight it is, how strong the coconut tree is, the palm trees and all those things. And God gave me the vision of reach up to get the most biggest pear you can, but aware that if you turn the pears a little bit, they start to rot. So that was kind of like a God put that in my heart. In fact, he do one of these things. You see that? Rivka, you see that? And I just say, I got it. It's one of those things that, you know, I got it, Lord. I know what I need to do, you know, and it was in my heart. So I was always have that reach out, you know, to the people that is most difficult or to the people that is high position or whatever the mountain is, I got it. So another vision is the palm tree, and I have angels sit beside the palm tree and look out this beautiful ocean, and that is yet to come. But the thing is that the obedience is that I went to Cuba. I have prayed about it for a long time about should I go to Cuba or not? You know, I don't want to just go because everybody say they want to go and just go. And I just really want God lead me to go to Cuba because I want to for sure that it was God want me to be there. And God said that you be just like Phillips. I'm going to send you to the south. Even though you are on your own, you're going to go there. It's just basically telling me that, you know, all the revive, everything in Jerusalem, but he sent individual to go a certain places. So he could have called you and let you, you know, your decision is on you between you and God. So it's individual. You're not relying on, you know, what your friends say and what your sister and brother say. This is what God wants you to go, and you just go and you tap into my father's house, Pastor Holly, or to go where God called you to go. So I did. I'd be like, Phillips, just go. And hoping that I will able to preach and able to just like preach to the eunuchs and able to bring salvation and praise God. I was there and able to... you know, watched how things go wonderfully. And what excites me is that Pastor Karen told me that one of the lady up in the hill have the same vision as I have about the reaching up to the pear trees and reach the highest fruit. And that intrigued me. I was like, the Holy Spirit like prompted me because I have to go all the way to Cuba to find out, you know, two or three in agreement. God is there, you know, God is doing something mighty. So I was excited to have another sister in different country have the same vision. I was like, yeah. And of course the enemy come, steal and destroy, but you know what? I got in the car. I just want to thank God. I have my car replaced, even though it's total. I spend more time with my son now, amen. And I don't have to work constantly. And praise God, there's no debt. I pay the debt off. And I have the blessing house that allowing me to have people come to do cell group in future. It will be multiplied, I believe that. So, you know, God is good. So I want to let brother and sister know that God will bless us when we come into trusting him and obey that what he has commanded us to do. And it will come when we go to Cuba, go to all the nation, he will multiply in Fort Wayne and this church and Fort Wayne City will be completely safe in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus.
Well, my heart is just filled with gratitude today, and I am thinking of, Pastor Harley's given me the opportunity to share so many times my testimony of God's healing, and I'm reflective of that this holiday season, just because last year at this time, was still standing on the word and having symptoms come, and so I am so grateful that I'm walking in victory this Thanksgiving, and as we prepare for Christmas, I'm so thankful that his word is true. And his word never changes, and his word will always accomplish what it was sent forth to accomplish. I'm thankful for that today. I'm thankful that I don't have to walk in fear any longer, but that his word is true, and I can set my heart and my emotions on his word and not be moved by situations that potentially walk around. So I'm thankful for that, and I'm also thankful just as we go into Advent season, the time of really, you know, preparing our hearts for the coming of Jesus that we celebrate in the birth of in the birth that we celebrate at Christmas, but also reflecting upon the idea of his second coming. And so I'm just grateful that we have a second coming of Jesus, just as the Israelites for so long looked and waited, and still today some are waiting for that Messiah to come. But we know he's came the first time, but that longing in our hearts that he's coming again. And I'm just really been meditating on that lately. I'm thankful that we have the hope of his second coming. And so I'm thinking of that as we celebrate Thanksgiving and go into Advent time. So, amen.
I'm very thankful because a few months ago, the Lord, all of us, you know, our families are on our hearts. And we're just, you know, God was showing me little things I began to see. And he just told me to be intentional. And I was ill, so I missed a family reunion that we had not had in about 3 years. So I was just thinking about all of those things. And when he told me to be intentional, I asked him, you know, I was presented with a situation that I couldn't really be forthright, but I was asked to assist. And but they didn't want anybody to know I was told that. So I just asked God to show me a way that I could accomplish this and reach out and be effective in a situation. And he did, and it was so awesome the way he did all of that. And even though I, you know, just started a project that they could show me how to do it, and that kind of caused some of my family and I to get together. And like, I need another hobby, you know, but at any rate, that's secondary. But the Lord, through that step of being intentional, the doors to my family that have opened up are just, to me, it's miraculous. And now, you know, they... for instance, one little thing was my niece, they had to move and they had to change schools, and she would have been in Snyder area, but she didn't want to particularly go there either, but she sure didn't want to go to Concordia Lutheran where they do that God stuff, because she didn't believe in God. Well, right away, I'm like, what do you mean? She, you know, I get on this. And so that just devastated my spirit. That this young girl, you know, there's so much going on, you know, and if there's anything, it's that she needs. Well, God, long story short, she went to Snyder. She hated it. Her mom said, well, then it's Concordia. And she's like, oh. So they had to apply and all of that. And it took a little bit, but she was accepted there. And ever since then, that door into her heart, because they actually study the Word of God, and they have to get into the Bible, for heaven's sakes, and do assignments. And she doesn't quite understand the Bible, so golly gee, could you help me? So praise God, that door is, you know, wide open, and not I mean, God just did it. And it was because of the word came to me about being intentional. You know, I kept them in my prayers. I would minister to them, and I would, they all know, you know, where I stand, but it wasn't effective, you know, because they could take it and go away. Well, now that door is so wide open that they come and they want to know and they ask, and it's a whole lot more than just, the word and being in the Bible. It's putting into action the thing that our pastors have taught us all along, to be involved, to make disciples, to live it and do it. And if they need help with a car, or if they need to, you know, to do it for them, you know. And a lot of times I would say, well, do you guys want to get, that's kind of in the beginning, do you guys want to get together? Oh yeah, everybody wanted to get together, and it dropped like a lead balloon. And so when I said, oh hey, do you want to get together on Thursday night at 6 o'clock at my house, then that now that's the way it is. And if they need something, they say, hey, can you, and you know, it's intentional, you know. So it's just, I praise God for our pastors and our teaching and our learning. And I'm thankful for that. And one more thing I'm really, really thankful about that just kind of really tickled me. I was at Megan's house, and she has three little girls and her and a boy. And a boy now. But anyway, the little girl, Lanakai, is 4 years old, and she goes to preschool. And she was singing and dancing and doing all the things that she does during the day around the house. And all of it, and she sings a lot and stuff. And all of a sudden, something caught my ear, and it wasn't the ABCs. And it was the Pledge of Allegiance. And I'm like, what did you say? And she recited the whole Pledge of Allegiance for me. And I know that, you know, God bless my heart so much, because right now we're really, you know, I'm really heavy with all that. I'm so sick of politics. I'm so tired of all the junk in our nation. And, you know, you get weary and you think there's not one person left with a brain. And, you know, they're ruining our children. They're teaching them all this garbage and all of this stuff. And here's this little four-year-old reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, and where she goes, they study the Bible. She always has their thing for the day, and they are, there's light. And I was so grateful for that. So.
Praise the Lord. I'm grateful for my father's house. I'm grateful for my pastors. I'm grateful that I have praying brothers and sisters, because I'm about to celebrate 5 years of being tumor-free. Praise the Lord. And I want to share this. My aunt, she just could not understand why my pastor was at the hospital when I went in for brain surgery. Your pastor came? So yeah, that's my pastor. My pastor didn't come. He just sent somebody. I was like, well, praise God. So yeah, that touched her heart, that pastor and Pastor Karen came up to the hospital for me. And Sarah, the reason why you weren't there is that was the year you all went to Cuba. 5 years ago, you guys were going to Cuba. You came to the hospital, prayed. I went through surgery, and then they went to Cuba. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to thank, I'm so thankful for all of you. We've been here for a while in Fort Wayne, and times were discouraging, you know, sometimes. But I just, when I think of you, I think of what God has done, how faithful you all are. How you love the Word of God, how you open your hearts to receive from what God speaks to Pastor Harley, to you, and you live it. And that's such a blessing. It's such a blessing for both Harley and I. And also, I'm thankful that this week we're going to see my oldest daughter and her family. So he's so good. Father, I thank you. I thank you for each and every one of these precious people. I thank you, Lord, that you are Lord of Lords. Oh, Lord, we honor you this week. We honor you, and we desire just to be filled with your joy, that everyone we come into contact sees that joy and says, why? How can they be so joyful? And we can honor you by telling them, it's because our Father loves us, and he loves you too. Thank you, Lord. We praise and honor you this week. Be glorified, be magnified in all that we say and do. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.